right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is still. Now, the city had been trying to get approval to, you know, create some more TIF districts. That's those districts that divert property tax revenue to help fund a development in Mass Avenue, in parts of downtown, in the area around Busch Stadium. And members of the Democratic majority were saying, hold on, we've got to get this TIF thing under control because we've got TIF districts that make a gazillion amount of money, and some feel that the city is using it as its own little piggy bank. There are others that say we've got TIFs that have been in effect, look like, since Roosevelt was president, Teddy, not Franklin, and they don't seem to expire. We've got TIFs that actually lose money, which makes absolutely no sense to me. And at the same time, it was like, wait a minute, why are we developing neighborhoods that are already developed? What about neighborhoods that are undeveloped? Areas like Woody. You know that area in back of Flanner House? Going, you know where Busch Stadium is. You know where the soccer field is just north of Busch Stadium. You know that neighborhood just north of the soccer field, going back around north of Mount Olive. That grain elevator that looked like it's been there since Teddy Roosevelt. The neighborhood, nobody ever goes in there and develops stuff in that neighborhood, right? You've been over there. You used to live over there. And I bet you've been saying for a gazillion years, when is somebody going to develop over there? Haven't you been saying that? Would have been saying that? Well, evidently, that's one of the things that City County Councilor Bob Ossoli, who represents that area north of the old Busch Stadium, north of Mount Olive Church, is saying. Joe Simpson kind of represents the area right next to that and parts of the downtown area. They seem to have reached a compromise with the Ballard administration. We didn't even think the Ballard administration even understood the word compromise, because usually it's our way or the highway, and that has stirred up a lot of dust among Democrats, Republicans, and others here to tell. And then there was a meeting, Woody, Monday night, where there's confusion over whether there was a meeting, whether it was adjourned, was stuff on the table, taken off the table, controversy, something you normally see on HBO. In our little city. Anyway, Bob Ossoli and Joe Simpson are here live. Guys, welcome.
Welcome.
All right, so here's the big question. Why cut a deal now with the city? Why not let them wait, let them sweat, let them suffer till they're at the point where they're on all four knees, they're begging, please, pretty please, with sugar on it. Why come to an agreement and a compromise now?
Well, Amos, let me start off by saying that the whole issue is something that goes back to Vop and I when we were running for the city county council. And the number one issue that you had talked about out here is that the unemployment for this black community was above, 21 during the election time, and that, you know, that it was real high. And a lot of people that live in my district and Vop district basically was saying to us, can you help us get a job? Mm-hmm. And then the second thing we realized, that we had a lot of ex-offenders,
right.
Ton of them. And they were saying the same thing. You know, they got the law. You were talking about it. The law got changed, but it's still not getting them jobs. You know, they're talking about going back to the well, working on ex-offender again. So the commitment that Bob and I made was that we were going to do as much as we could to make sure people get jobs. And what I want to start out by saying that, you know, this deal come from my heart, and it comes from Councilman Ossoli's heart, that we see too many of our people walking the streets with union cars, too many of our people that own construction company, too many of our people that are architecture, too many of our people that are professional in a lot of areas, and they're saying they're not getting anything. And a lot of people around here saw all this work and still being done around here. It's not coming from Indianapolis. It's not none of us on there, very few. And that was a real issue for us when we first got introduced to this TIF process. And one of the things that we took from this was that we wanted to employ the people from Marion County, because obvious nobody else cared about it. We cared about it enough that if we wanted to do this deal, and the deal got laid down a couple times. I mean, you know, there was some some things that was not true, and we had to put it on the table. And so I think it's a message in which sticks to my heart and Vop's heart very dearly, is that this thing is about jobs. It's about how we can help those folks. It's great to get cold out there. Mm-hmm. And the construction season is, some of it's winding down, some of it's just now starting. But what we're saying is that we got to do some of our job. And I think that it's not so much a deal was cut, a lot of this stuff. And I'm going to read one of the whereas on the committee, Proposal 15. It says, whereas it is the desire and the intent of the City County Council to expand employment opportunity for individuals living in and surrounding the expanded consolidation redevelopment area and the consolidated allocation area by increasing the local hire, promoting minority employment, and ensuring that the City Council and the citizens of Indianapolis are informed about employment opportunity and job creation in the expanded consolidated redevelopment area and the consolidated allocation area. That was never in any of these proposal TIF things. Mm-hmm. This is new.
And this kind of commitment, you know, for employment training and opportunities for minority businesses or businesses located in this city, that is in this proposal for this expanded TIF.
That is correct. Amos, you asked a question when you first started off. What about, let them wait and let them suffer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But you know who ends up waiting and suffering? Those very people who don't have jobs, mm-hmm. who are ex-offenders, who stand on the street, and who put us into office to make a difference. Now, it's about time that some of that changed, and we got busy to make sure that it did change. And that our folks, the folks who put us in office, the folks who need it the most, had the opportunities presented to them to take advantage of. And in a moment, we'll read you some of the components of the agreement that we have, mm-hmm. because we're proud of it. You know, I want to make sure that folks understand something. Okay. One of the things is Joe and I don't have a nickel in this dime. Mm-hmm. I want to make that perfectly clear. We ain't got a nickel in this dime.
Yeah, some of these blogs are saying, hey, that Bob Ossoli lined his pockets.
Right.
And
right.
I ain't seen no coins flow down these pockets.
I'm going to go back to the post office. Yeah. I'm going to go back to my mailbox and see if I'm missing a check.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, not a nickel in this mm-hmm. dime. That's mm-hmm. one. And two, I got to give this man a lot of props, Councilor Simpson, because he gets it, and he has compassion, and he's willing to fight to make sure that it happens. Now, we talked about three items.
Okay.
One being the microloan program. How many businesses in the Riverside area, and we made this specific, I want folks to understand this, specific to the district north of 16th Street.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about the general area downtown and all the rest of it. North of 16th Street.
North
the
of 16th.
The area you were just talking about right now.
That's us. Yeah, that's us.
Right.
That ain't them. That's us.
This is the commitment.
Mm-hmm. Micro, and that's for little businesses.
That's for little businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, the backbone of this country, the mm-hmm. backbone is made of small businesses, little businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how difficult it is to get a loan these days?
Right.
Now, we need to focus on those individuals in those communities who can start some businesses, who can hire other people, especially from the district, to get work so that they have the dignity themselves to provide for their families. That's one.
That's one.
Two.
Okay.
We got $1.5 million in here for job training.
Mm-hmm.
Specific to the TIF-related work.
So to train folks for work downtown or to train folks for work.
In the TIF area, wherever that consolidated TIF hits, that's where
they're talking about. Let me kind of walk back, because nobody has shown the boundaries of this TIF you proposed. People kind of heard, okay, there's a TIF on Massachusetts Avenue, which includes the old Coke plant where IPS parks all of their buses, plus where the fire station is on Mass Avenue over by the Marat.
Yeah.
Then an area on the west side of American Legion Mall, so on the west side of Meridian Street, south of St. Clair, down to about New York Street over to the canal. That's the other part of the downtown TIF, and then the area where Busch Stadium is along the northern part of Indiana Avenue on the west of Mount Olive. Now, that's the current TIF everybody's been talking about. What gets added into – what geography gets added into this?
What goes up north of 10th Street? In fact, I'm putting it goes up north of 10th Street, mm-hmm. around White River on the west side,
okay.
crosses over the bridge for a hot second,
mm-hmm.
comes back down 16th Street to Harding Street,
okay.
goes up Harding all the way to Birdsville Parkway.
Wait a minute. So it's going to go up Harding.
Go up Harding.
To Birdsville Parkway.
Right. Then go east over to Mount Calm and come on back down to 16th Street.
So it's going to go east. It's going to go east. Going to go east to Mount Calm.
With them pretty little silos.
And then come down.
Right.
With the pretty little silos and the pretty little Bryant Heating and Cooling is located.
Mm-hmm.
The idea behind this, and you know, I'm sure we're going to get some calls in a minute, you know, some setup calls from some folks who are dissatisfied, you know, and want to play political games. But let me tell you this. At the end of the day, we can sleep at night because we did what people elected us to do. So let me say this. $1.5 million for job training. We have never done it before. Ever. Targeted for those individuals. Now, hear this. Hold on a second, Amos. Yeah. Let me say this. 40% of the jobs are committed right now. We are committing to 40%. This is what's in the resolution. 40% of those jobs need to come from within the TIF area, right?
Okay.
And failing that, if you don't have a reasonable reason for not hiring, which is why we have the job training component, so you have the ability to be trained for a job. So folks can say, hey, we couldn't find anybody, because you know that's been the excuse for 7,000 decades, as you say, since Teddy Roosevelt. We don't have that excuse. We have an opportunity now for trained employees to get work and then get the job.
Well, now when you say 40% of the people in the TIF, we're talking the Mass Ave and the downtown and the Indiana Avenue and over by Birdsville Parkway, Harding, and whatever. So what keeps, you know, some fresh, white, IU graduate moving to downtown, you know, living with three other people in one of these $800 a month apartments that they just built on Indiana Avenue, coming and saying, I want a job.
Here's the answer. It's in the expanded area.
Okay. Oh, the expanded.
Yeah.
It's this new area that the blogs haven't figured out yet.
Exactly.
Unless they're listening right now.
Right.
Okay. And the other thing is, I understand there is a revolving loan program.
Right.
Regular loans up to $10 million program. Who's that for?
That is for those other communities that, you know, may have wanted to get a TIF.
Mm-hmm.
Other CDCs who, you know, want to compete to get a TIF and that kind of thing. It reduces that pressure, so they have another pool of resources to go to as a revolving loan.
I got to ask you,
does this proposal put in the things that some of the recommendations of the commission that Bill Crawford was on, others, in terms of studying how to reform these TIF districts? In other words, is there going to be a time limit that this TIF will run out, you know, sometime before we land a man on Mars or something like that?
Well, here's the deal. If I could just say this real quick. This has an automatic 25 years, and I think we can work something out. I think our president might be able to work something out. That actually reduces that based on the amount of time it's required to repay the bonds.
Mm-hmm.
But let me read you a couple of the TIF components that this does apply to. Contract with eligible entities for educational and work training and work retraining programs. Bam, done it. Include local hiring goals in the declaratory, you know, resolution. We didn't get it in the declaratory. This will be in the final resolution, because this was already in process. Include minority and women-owned business enterprise participation goals. Got it. Include clawback provisions in project agreements. Got it.
Hmm.
It's the kind of thing that we wanted to make sure that we were dealing with, you know, what the TIF recommendations also said, but we have something in there for people who can't provide.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to add to that, Amos, is that I was talking to our CFO today, and what we're going to do is – because the TIF recommendations are up in the air right now. It's going back before a committee of the city county council right now. And I've requested Hope to send me a memo so that I can send to the city of the 25 or whatever those recommendations are sent. And we're going to send them to the city and ask the city, even though right now this commission report is out there, we're going to request that they fill and answer all these recommendations so that it is on record pertaining to what they're doing and what they're not doing, and so that we can, you know, balance this thing out. It's not meant that we're trying to avoid anything, but the bottom line is that we have to. It's great to get coal, Amos, and I'm going to say that again. And people are going to have to not live in houses without gas, water, and stuff like that. It's getting pretty desperate. That's why the crime is going up, Amos. Mm-hmm. The crime is going up purely because people don't have it, and they got to get it from somewhere. And my whole point is that we, from at least from both of our hearts, is that we've been, ever since January the 1st, have been talking about jobs. And that is, you got that piece of paper in front of you right now. It's not, and I don't know why everybody think it was a deal cut. It was more of us sitting down and agreeing to some things that we want and some things they wanted. So, I mean, they can call it a deal, but we, you know, it wasn't a deal.
239, all right, 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. If you live in that neighborhood north of Busch Stadium, north of Mount Olive, that's Riverside. That's kind of part Riverside, part the southern part of the Unwa area, right. The southern part of the Riverside area. 239, you know, over by Bryant Heating and Cooling, what used to be Bryant Heating and Cooling over 21st and Montcalm, that grain elevator. Ain't been a farmer over there in a gazillion years. The grain elevator, 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's Amos, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com or send me a text message at 85620, keyword Amos, 85620, keyword Amos. Tomorrow we're out in Lawrence Township at the McKenzie Career Center in the Lawrence Township Schools, and they tell me that people have been calling me saying, we're sending you emails in case we can't get through because we got, you know, things that we want to raise with the Lawrence Township Schools. But we've been talking with the superintendent, with the president of the Lawrence Township School Board, the principal not only of the McKenzie School, but the principals of LN and LC, Lawrence North and Lawrence Central. They're going to be in the same room together at the same time. Is that allowed? I thought they couldn't. Those schools couldn't stay. Anyway, 239-1310. Let me go. They were expecting. Let me go to Larry on the line. Hi, Larry.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
Hey, now we finally know what they want. It's time to get the shank out and shank the heck out of them. They need to have the shank out on them. And you know what they need to do before you can consider anything they do? Or either unless you just plan to lead them up to the vote night and then just grab it off the table, but you need to get them and make them pay for redistricting. You need to then go back in there and everything you want, put it right on these resolutions that they're about to pass, and if they don't pass them, what do you care? I mean, you know what the TIF district's all about. You go down 10th Street and see all contract labor. You look over there at that debacle over on North of South. All contract labor. That's why they got it fenced in so you can't see them. We face reality. When they do large projects like this, which are supposed to be public projects, but they're not, they're making private fortunes for people, you need to not even consider them because why? They're never going to pay back. If somebody gives you something for nothing, you're not going to pay anything back. So I think that now that y'all found out what ballot really wants, it's time to get your shank out and shank him good and then just say, hey, look, buddy, it's what we want. It's about us. Now, you've been trying to act disobedient. You've been vetoing everything. Everything that you had on the table, just regurgitate it, put it right back on the table. You want to sign these measures? Don't want to sign them? Hey, good with us. And you need to get it. I know I filed a situation, a overall plan for a TIF over here and Barrington, which have been neglected for 40 years. You think they got any information or anything? Brian said he didn't get it. So I'm going to give it to him tonight. But the thing about it is you need to get everything signed on contract before you do any voting or anything. In fact, I'm glad that you got them out of the closet now. So now it's time to get the shank out and shank them good.
All right, my brother. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go to Jack. Hi there.
Yeah, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Okay, did I overhear that gentleman on your show there say that sometimes people be short of stuff and then they go out and do stuff they wouldn't want to do, but they're trying to survive?
Correct.
Okay, well, see, the only reason, the only thing I say about that, that's not a good thing to trying to tell people they can go out and do stuff. If you just go ahead, I've been poor all my life, but I ain't never broke nobody's law or took nothing from nobody. We need to let them people know that's doing that kind of stuff. When the jobs come around, you ain't gonna be able to get it because you're gonna have a felony.
Well, and the reason I say that is because I'm a sponsor of a lot of, at least 4 or 5 ex-offenders. You know, I'm helping them to survive. And I pull money out of my pocket. Sometimes I take them with me to help, you know, a little job. So I love to get in a truck and hustle. But these guys, they constantly say to me that I don't want to go back to the way it was. And the way it was is like you say, it's going to be committing crime. And all they want is an opportunity, a second chance to get a job. And to earn a living. They get it, but you can't, if it's not out here, how do you expect people, you know, to continue to do what they're doing? And I understand what you're saying, but I want to explain that a little better to you.
Okay, well, good. Thank you, Rev. But they need to repent and show the people that they can change, and I guarantee you things will get better for them. Y'all have a big old fine day.
All right, I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. It's one of the things that has been floating around with all these TIF proposals on Massachusetts Avenue was trying to move the bus barn for IPS's school buses from Mass Avenue and put it in a neighborhood where the neighborhood doesn't even want it, which I understand is somewhere in Martindale-Brightwood. Is this addressed as to what could happen with, you know, where do you park all of IPS's buses?
Yes, it was part of our discussion with the city that the Martindale-Brightwood area should not be considered.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same discussion occurred with Dr. White. And Dr. White explained that there were other locations that he could look at, mm-hmm. and it was suggested to him that that would be a very, very good idea because the Martindale-Brightwood area would not fly.
Yeah, and it's written in that, it's one of those bullet points that we said that if they're going to move into a neighborhood, wherever Doc White decides to take IPS bus station, they need to talk to the neighborhood association and elected officials to make sure that this is not creeping in by the night. And I don't think that they're going to do that, but we wanted the city to be fully aware that you need to notify people that you're looking. You know, don't wait until the spot is taken, that they need to notify the elected official and the neighborhood association.
239-1310, 239-13. Before I take a break, I got an email. Because part of the controversy about this proposal is how it was brought up. And the email says, why did Steve Talley, which was chair of the committee, attempt to stop this proposal from being considered Monday night? And this is from somebody that was at the council meeting. As I understand it, this meeting was adjourning. He's the chair, Steve Talley, and he said the meeting is adjourned. Was there a motion? Did anybody ever offer? You just can't adjourn a meeting. So you got to at least say, is there a motion to adjourn? Did anybody, you know, move to adjourn, get a second?
Unfortunately, no, there was not a motion to adjourn.
So he just left?
Well, he said that the meeting was adjourned, but we did not have a motion or a second.
Did he pound the gavel, take the gavel home with him?
I don't recall. I just know there was not a second.
So if he left, then who ran the meeting?
The highest ranking Democrat.
Is that legit?
Yes.
That's according to Hoyle.
We did not have a proper adjournment,
mm-hmm.
and we had a quorum. So the meeting actually had not ended.
There are some that are saying that the nature of this proposal is one that needed to be first introduced, then have an opportunity for public debate and comment after people knew, oh, they just brought this up. And then consider it, and that they felt this didn't happen because the committee voted 5-1 to move this on to the full council without people knowing that it was coming up. We'll get the answer to their magic question after this. It's afternoons with Amos after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Is back to the Friday. We'll get your reaction to Governor Mitt Romney, the Republican nominee for president's acceptance speech tomorrow night. One thing I wish that Mitt Romney would say in his acceptance speech, that he condemns people who throw peanuts at African-American camera people and say, this is how we feed the animals. That's what happened at the convention last night. We'll ask the congressman about that as well. Let me go back to the phones and Brian. Hi there.
Noon, how are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
Got a couple of questions, and then I'll get off, and hopefully they can answer or
okay.
look into it, Amos. Mm-hmm. Counting on you. First one is with regard to this TIF, the property on Mass Avenue, what is the reality of selling that property at market value and letting it go back into the city coffers versus putting it in a TIF? If it's so valuable, make it be sold to the highest bidder. Two, I'd like for them, both councilmen, at the next meeting to look into, if the city's shortfall, distinguish the difference between the Indianapolis Downtown Inc. versus the Indiana Convention Visitors Bureau. It seems like a redundancy. Three, I want to know, how does the council president sit on the CIB? How does that work? It seems like a conflict of interest with regard to the Pacers wanting their money back. And the last question is, on these TIF districts, as far as the minority participation, who's going to be the watchdog over guaranteeing that these companies that earn the business aren't fronts, i.e. white companies, putting out a black person to represent as a minority business? Thank you.
All right, great question. Let me start with the first one. He asked about if property is so valuable on Mass Avenue, why don't they just, instead of putting it in a TIF district, sell the property, get the money, and it goes to the highest bidder?
That's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. The TIF on Mass Avenue, the fire station, they would not be able to do where the location of the fire station without a TIF, because somebody's got to build that new fire station. They're getting a brand new fire station downtown, and the credit union that is attached to that property down there is saying they want to move. They'll move if they get to move where the fire station is, because they're connected to the firefighters. And part of that money is to move out to move the administration out to East 10th to the school that is closed out there. And I can't think what the name is, next to Tech mm-hmm. High School. The administration is moving out there. They rehabbing that building, and then they're moving the fire station. So both of these pieces of property right now are not on the tax roll. They're not there. IPS bus is going to take some work. Doc is basically unloading a piece of property that's got, what do they call it, the brownstone?
Brownfield.
It has gas thing, like a gas station.
And it's been there, look how long it's been there.
So there's rehab and stuff.
Yeah, and so the city is going to have to use some money along with federal dollars to clean that whole area up before they can even get it, sold and get it there. So most of the TIF money are for infrastructure or cleanup or stuff like that, but in this particular case for Mass Avenue, they're going to build a fire station to move the fire station. The credit union is going to build wherever they go, but they're going to get on the land, because wherever the fire station go, it's got to be the land that is not on the tax roll right now.
Let me take his fourth question next, and that, you know, who's going to be the watchdog to watch over minority participation? Particularly with the city's continued refusal, to admit how much dollars they have spent with black owned, Hispanic owned, and Asian owned businesses, given that continued stonewalling of providing that information. People don't trust the city has no credibility in that. So how do you've come to an agreement? People are listening and say, well, how can you trust a city to do that, you know, to be responsible in utilizing, having real minority participation, the way they can't even answer the question on minority participation?
One of the part of this is authorizing the MDC to do the following. Develop and submit area employee reports, which detail methods used for advertising, hiring, workers hired, termination cause, geographic location of worker residence, and so on. We understand that we need to have a third party in this. And it's up then to the guidance that we can provide, but it's up to the MDC to work through, you know, the details of that third party. Mm-hmm. That way it takes it out of our hands, it takes it out of the city's hands, and in independent hands, to ensure that we are hitting the targets that we've set.
Should it also be at a council hearing last week, the director of minority business for the city, Greg Wilson, in response to a question from your colleague, Councilwoman Hickman, said that he's all, the reason they don't break this information down by other ethnicities is it's not required by ordinance. And I'm listening to that saying, okay, fine, then require it by ordinance. Is that something where, and you know, an amendment to all this, since this is an ordinance,
well, we
that could require the city to track that and maybe track that back to the middle of the Peterson administration, back to 2005?
We're going to keep track of that. You know, that's part of the process because that's what it all deal with. And the point is that we're talking about using TIF money for the third party. We're looking at the Wisher Hospital or the airport, how they did their situation in which payrolls. And, I mean, it's pretty extensive in how you making sure that people just don't get hired and they gone within 2 weeks. You know, we've heard all the tricks of the trade out there. And that we think that there's a system already in place. We don't have to invent anything. I think the Wishart Hospital, the new Wishart Hospital situation in which they use was a good system. And an airport long time ago, they used a good system. So there's two systems out there that we've been told by that the TIF can pay for it. And so we're looking to – this is not something that we're just starting and it's going to end. This is something that's going to continue because this community needs to understand that – for us to get what we need to participate. And we need to participate in a way that it could be monitored and that we are sure that this thing don't go away after a year. We're not talking about this. This whole above 16th Street, Montcalm area is a 3-year plan.
So one other thing, Amos, I want to say that as far as that the area employee reports,
right,
those are to be submitted quarterly. And knowing then that we have a third party involved in this. This is not requiring the city to do it. It's not requiring us to do it. We have a third party that can then monitor that and produce it on a
quarterly. Are they going to then monitor not only veteran-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, but the race and ethnicity of those minority-owned and women-owned businesses?
That is correct.
2-3. The question that Brian asked is, and this goes back to people who read in the newspaper, you know, they know we're $60 million in the hole in terms of the city. And so they ask questions like, you know, why do we have to have an Indianapolis downtown when we've got a convention and visitors bureau called Visit Indy? And he raises the question of, you know, is it a conflict of interest for the president of the city county council to sit on the capital improvement board and the capital improvement board looking at giving more money to the Pacers? And I think there are people that would rather make sure that police and firefighters have bullets and police and firefighters keep their raise rather than, the Pacers get $10 million. Or if the CIB had $10 million loose, give $5 million to the Pacers, give $5 million so we don't have a part-time symphony. When you're talking about tourism, mm-hmm, and economic development, mm-hmm, last time I checked, folks that come to the symphony like to eat downtown. Right. That's economic development. I don't see anybody trying to help the symphony out.
Starting with the CIB, I think that President Maggie Lewis, this is something that has been going on for years. I think since, you know, being on the president or whoever was the president was sitting on the CIB. And I think that since this has come to the attention of her, President Maggie Lewis, that we're looking into it, Amos, because, you know, it may be a conflict. It may not. But I think that is worthy of taking a look at that. And we're going to do what we can about that. And what was the other one about?
Indianapolis downtown. Does that duplicate what the Convention and Visitors Association is supposed to do?
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. And pertaining to the budget, you know, the budget, you know, the budget has to be dealt with in a way that when you got more expenses than you got revenues, you gotta cut somewhere. And this budget has been growing ever since for the last 4 years. This thing just didn't grow over 1 year. So this thing has been growing for a while. And it's one of our, you know, at least my recommendation I've been bringing forth. I want a reduction plan to reduce this thing within the next 3 years.
All right. Let me go to Diana at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Good afternoon. And to your guests, mm-hmm, I just like to say I'm enjoying the show. I always do. And I'd like to commend your guests on the hard work and diligence that they're doing to provide jobs for the community. And like your guest was saying, that he tries to help the ex-offenders and, you know, takes them around with him when he hustles on his truck and that kind of thing. And I just wanted to say, you know, that even to the ex-offenders that may be listening, you know, if no one creates a job for you, you are endured by the same, endowed by the same creator. Whatever those people, that the entrepreneurs that they're looking for to a job, they reach out within themselves, you know, let me create the job, let me do something. So if they don't have a car, they can, you know, maybe go door to door and ask a little old lady if she needs lawn care done. I mean, it's coming time to rake leaves, or, you know, they can, it's something they can do to make money and put that money aside and stuff like that and grow to their business. They can start raking leaves, shoveling snow. You know, you don't have to always wait on somebody to hire you. Mm. And that's the thing. They can reach out within themselves, pray to God, and, you know, we can all do it. I mean, it's everybody. It's either an entrepreneur, you're waiting on somebody to hire you, hire yourself.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. It's the issue in which I deal with the guys that I work closely with, and that is they need to understand their faith with God. And that,
yeah,
God,
and they may not have a car to go drive and go somewhere and get a job.
Right.
Go in your community. Somebody needs help. Somebody needs some trash hauled out. You know, there's things that you can do.
Well,
you know, and then you start from there and go forward.
And the point is, at least the gentlemen I deal with, they just want a little hope of a little light. And I told them that the light is God. And God has provided each one of them with jobs now. They're working.
Yes.
They're working. They got jobs and they're working.
Okay.
But it ain't the job they want. But I told them you have to give honor and praise you got to start somewhere.
Yes.
All right,
well, I just thank you for the great job you're doing.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Eddie. He lives in the Montcalm area. Hi, Eddie. Eddie? Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
What's up?
Hey, I'm just interested in knowing what's actually going on in that area. I see them trying to build it up a little bit, but my concern is how are they going to come in and get this property for people that owns property over there?
Eddie, I think I answered that. It's not getting property from people who own the property. It's not for the areas on the where the residential locations are. It's actually for the large entities like Brian Heating and Cooling.
But you got housing over there.
Right.
You know, what happens to those people that's got property over there?
Are you saying the residential that's right up against the old Brian Heating and Cooling, is that what you're talking about?
That area there, and then right across there from there, I think on Milburn, that area there. What are you going to do with that area right there?
Is that that's residential, correct?
Yes.
Is this something where this development would move residents out of their homes?
No. And you know, because I go to all of my neighborhood association meetings that we got going on over there, we are committed to make sure that we're not putting people out of their homes, especially, you know, some of those families have been in those homes for 80 years. And that's a disgrace. If we even think about doing something like that, it's a disgrace.
They
need to be able to live in a place that has economic development, you know, that the streets are smooth, you know, the kids can play in the streets safely, and folks can work. They can even walk to work. That's our goal.
But how do you keep, and I understand where you're coming from, Counselor Vapasile, but also understand where Eddie's coming from. Let's say you start doing this. And, you know, somebody comes in and says, I'm going to, you know, redevelop the area where the old Brian Heating and Cooling is. I will take the risk of tearing down the grain elevator and put in something that can provide jobs. And all of a sudden, people see that progress. And then some speculator will start going up and down the street like the old Blockbusters back in the 50s and 60s and knock on the door. Hey, I got a check. You know, you're trying to act like, you know, the price is right. And try to force people out of their homes, not because of any action you're doing. They're speculating. They're betting. They're like they're in Vegas betting on, hey, if I can buy this up cheap, then I can make a fortune, you know, profiting from the development. How do you keep that protect those kind of, you know, scuzzy people from doing that kind of stuff? Because that's just
absolutely.
Okay.
what
Joe Simpson?
Yeah. Bob and I talked about that because we realized that, and we got the big picture, and you're talking about the big picture, you know, that if we tear down all that area going all the way back up to Bursell Parkway, people are going to say, wow, now this looks like this area is great to grow. This is great. And most of those houses over there are on Tax Row. Sugar Grove, there are a lot of houses on Tax Row. We're talking about the land bank getting the control of a lot of these houses that are on there and use the CDC over there to
the empty houses.
Yeah, the empty houses, the houses that are on Tax Road, get the CDC to take control of and aim it so that the speculators who come over there, they won't be able to, you know, buy a whole block up for little or nothing and then they change something around. So we're looking into that.
All right, I appreciate the call, Eddie. We got the congressman waiting, and we need to take a break. But I got to ask you very, very quickly: are you all shocked that the city of Indianapolis has nothing in its personnel policy that prohibits a boss from having a romantic relationship with one of their subordinates? Are you all, you know, stunned that that's not in the city personnel manual, where most companies actually have a policy like that?
Yeah, I'm stunned.
You're stunned. Council Bob Ossie, you're a businessman. Are you surprised that's not in the personnel manual?
If it isn't in there, it should be in there.
It should be in there.
It should be in there.
Yeah.
That could be part of the budget bill. Hey, we're not going to approve this budget unless y'all put that in there. Call that the Straub rule.
Well, the personnel hadn't been updated in a while from what I've learned.
That's the city personnel department, and the head of that department is rumored to be one of the candidates for public safety director?
Mm-hmm. Amos, now here you go, trying to stir up some stuff. Let me just answer one quick question from you. You had asked about the meeting the last time.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure that you understood that it met the public notice requirement.
Oh, it did meet the public notice requirement.
That's right.
All right. City County Councilors Bob Ossoli and Joe Simpson, thanks very much for being with us.